brought to you by WorldWrestlingInsanity.com. It's JG's Radio Free Insanity with your host, James Gutman.
And you could have it all. My empire of dirt. I will let you down. I will make you hurt.
What's up, everybody? This is James Gutman. I want to thank you for tuning in to this week's edition of Radio Free Insanity here on WorldWrestlingInsanity.com. Today, it is Friday. It is November the 18th. It's 2005. Very different audio update this week. As you guys heard right at the start, we don't have the same kind of music. This week is a little bit different. We're not talking about wrestling storylines. We're not going to be talking about anything, any of the insanity that we talk every week. This week we're going to talk a little bit about Eddie Guerrero. Eddie Guerrero, Latino, he passed away last Sunday at the age of 38 years old. Very shocking for a lot of wrestling fans. Eddie had just been on television the week before on SmackDown, and in fact was scheduled that night to go to SmackDown and wrestle for the world title against Randy Orton in a match that, for all intents and purposes, I know in wrestling you never say something is going to happen before it actually happened or ever did happen, but I could say with 99.9% certainty that Eddie was going to win the world title that night. And instead of winning the world title, and instead of driving his low rider to the ring, his low rider was used as an icon, as a sort of symbol of his life on the stage for Memorial Edition of Raw. Really just a mind-blowing week, guys. The kind of week where you're trying to figure out where you go from here and how to approach things. I know a lot of fans are having a hard time dealing with the situation, trying to get back into the swing of things. Hopefully this audio will help you out a little bit. We're going to be having some people coming on, talking a little bit about how they feel, some memories of Eddie, things like that. But nothing too heavy this week. We will go back to the format next week, and I do have plenty lined up. Just a quick note, the book World Wrestling Insanity went up on Amazon yesterday. Normally I'd be talking about that right now. Again, we're going to hold off on that till next week too, but you know, go to the website, you can check it out. There's some information up there. But starting Monday, we'll be back on track again, and you guys can get all the info on that and other things. Now, getting back to Eddie Guerrero, while you're on the site as well, make sure you check out Tom Pritchard's column from yesterday, which was just absolutely amazing. Tom talked about going to detox with Eddie Guerrero a few years ago during all the situation and all the problems. Tom, again, continues to give some of the most honest, no-holds-barred columns I've ever read online, where really he doesn't guard himself, he doesn't try to work the fans, he doesn't try to put himself over, anything like that, or any of the other insider terms we can throw in there. Tom really has been very honest with all of us, and for that I appreciate it tremendously, and I think you guys will definitely appreciate what he had to say in his column, The Doctor's Notes. Check that out. That was up yesterday. Also on the site, all of the people writing, or most of the people writing for the site, from TV reviewers, columnists, we all have posted our favorite Eddie Guerrero memories, and that should be up right below the link to the Radio Free Insanity, so check that out too. And in it, I actually told my favorite memory of Eddie Guerrero, which I'll go into in a second. So let's just go back to Sunday and talk a little bit about the situation. Eddie Guerrero checked into his hotel room at 12:30 a.m. the night before, on Saturday night. He had gone flown in with Chavo, went to the hotel in Minnesota at the Marriott, checked in. The next morning, he did not meet them for breakfast. It had been reported that he had breakfast with people, but he didn't have any breakfast with anybody. He had never checked in. He never got up for his wake-up call when they called him up. Security, remembering the Guerreros from a previous time, called Chavo, let him know that Eddie was not answering his wake-up call. They went to his room where they found him passed away. Now, I know there's details about this online about what was found with Eddie. I don't do that. I'm just letting you guys know right now. I'm not coming to anybody else who does. I don't like to report really personal details on a situation like that. I think Eddie Guerrero has passed away, and that's all you really need to know at that point. I mean, there's really nothing more to say. Out of nowhere, kind of a sudden thing. Chavo said that on the plane he was fine. They watched a movie, and that was it. There really wasn't the kind of situation where in wrestling, sometimes you could tell when somebody is on, I don't say on their way out because it sounds so morbid, but you can always tell when somebody's having problems. I remember Brian Pillman, when he passed away, people were saying after his death that leading into it, he was, you know, getting more and more withdrawn, and signs are there. There's always signs there with a lot of people, and I think with Eddie Guerrero, it was shocking because a lot of people didn't see too many signs. I mean, there were some situations in the last year or two. The ECW show rings to mind in his match against Chris Benoit. There was a situation afterwards where they got into an argument over the quality of the match. So there were times where Eddie was being a little confrontational, maybe a little dark at times, but nothing to the point that would point you to this. And you could tell that because if WWE actually thought that Eddie Guerrero passing away was going to be an option, there's no way in hell he would be the top guy on SmackDown. No way. And I could say that totally, 100% without worry. And this isn't the kind of thing where people are going to turn around and say, oh, you're saying WWE, you know, didn't know anything about it. I'm saying that knowing World Wrestling Entertainment and knowing the way they like to cover their collective asses, there's no way they would have put somebody in a position as high as Eddie Guerrero was on the current roster if they thought that this was something that could happen when it did. Absolutely not. So when I did hear about this Sunday morning, I was surprised. I got a phone call probably around 10 a.m. Sunday morning. Someone had told me. I kind of let it sink in. Made a few phone calls to some people. Broke the news to a few people, too, which wasn't really that fun. You tend to forget sometimes, and you know the news doesn't travel as fast as you think it does. WWE had it up. We waited until they put it up before we put it up out of respect for his family. Once that was up, the press conference happened, and WWE held a press conference with Chavo Guerrero and Vince McMahon, where they gave kind of the situation. They told people what was going on, and that's when we learned that the shows, SmackDown or Raw, were going to be tribute shows to Eddie Guerrero, and Monday night was Eddie Guerrero's tribute show. Very similar to Owen Hart's tribute show, very similar, in that the matches were based more or less on exhibitions, not on storylines, and they would go to shots of wrestlers in the back in front of a screen or a sheet or whatever it was, talking about their memories of Eddie Guerrero. It's almost the exact same thing they did with Owen Hart. I think it's a little bit different than Owen Hart. What I did not like about Monday, I think Joey Styles and Coach and Jerry Lawler were the wrong announce team to have there for it. When Owen Hart's Memorial Raw happened, it was Jim Ross and it was Jerry Lawler. And Jim Ross, say what you want about the guy, but he always had a level head in certain situations, and he knows how to approach certain situations from an announcer standpoint. And I think he did a good job with the Owen Hart Raw, and he actually helped reel in Jerry Lawler with the Owen Hart Raw. On Monday, it wasn't that good. You had John Coachman, whose entire gimmick really is based on being a smug, arrogant heel. So he's not exactly the impartial announcer. Then you have Jerry Lawler, whose whole gimmick is that he's a joker. Not even a good joker. Kind of a horny, weird joker. So that's his thing. And then you have Joey Styles, the new guy, who had to go out there and trying to get fans familiar with his act. Had to step out of character, which isn't good. You shouldn't have somebody so new on television have to step out of character. So the announcing was definitely off on Monday. I'm with all of you guys on this. The show itself, though, I thought was a fitting tribute to Eddie Guerrero. And one of the weird things is, as I said before, I started writing about this business on the internet and for you guys in 2002. And I always used to wonder, because I do those ridiculous intros where everything's so silly in the Raw Insanity, and you know, I make fun of things, because in wrestling, you know, it is a form of entertainment, so a lot of the things that I have to say that are serious, things, you know, you talk about racism, you talk about nepotism, and all the things that will be talked about in the book, I try to do it in a way where I don't just say, you know, oh, well, that's racist, I'll make a joke about it, I'll say funny things or whatnot, or hope they're funny things or whatnot. And I always wondered how I would have handled it if I had been writing about wrestling during the Owen Hart Memorial Raw. And I kind of found out on Monday what it would be like, because I got to handle it for Eddie Guerrero, and I wish I didn't have to. So I did alter it a little bit. I changed the Raw report on Monday. I made it more or less a tribute to Eddie, and talked a little bit about, you know, what was going on, but I didn't really look at it from a review standpoint. I looked at it from just a fan who was taking it all in. Now, on a personal note, and I said this at the beginning of my Raw report, I've dealt with death. death a lot in my life. I had a lot of people pass away. Family members, all my grandparents died young for me. I was 12 when the last grandparent that I had passed away. I've had friends from high school for some reason. A number of people I knew in high school passed away. My best friend died last year. So, I've dealt with the situation a lot. And when I first heard on Sunday that Eddie had passed away, I mean, it shook me. And it didn't really register fully until the next night, watching the Raw tribute. And in that respect, I think it was therapeutic. And I think that WWE did a good job in allowing fans the chance to kind of get those emotions out, you know, and to be able to kind of find an outlet for what they were feeling. And WWE did a good job with that on Monday. Now, a lot of fans have different emotions on this, okay? I do want to address this, because if you notice, I'm not talking about the cause of death. The cause of death is listed as heart failure. There's a ton of speculation out there as to what it could be. He could have been doing this, he could have been doing that. I'm not going to speculate on what it was. I don't know what it was. I don't know what he was doing personally. No one couldn't really say that they know what he was doing personally, which is another thing that gets to me. Anything you hear from anybody is always told from someone to someone else to someone else. It's highly unlikely that there's anybody out there who fully knows Eddie Guerrero's days, every single day, what he did every moment of the day. And if they did, I really don't think that they'd be telling us, because it's a personal situation. So I don't want to speculate on that. You never know what somebody's doing with their personal life. And I also think it's very early to do that. Now, that being said, we have fans, especially on our message boards, we have some fans who are sad. I mean, everyone's obviously sad, but you have some people who are handling it by being sad. You have some people who are angry about the situation. You have some people who are, frustrated with losing so many wrestlers and losing so many people in the business. And all those emotions are right. And I said that on Monday. Whether you're angry, whether you're sad, whatever you're feeling is your feeling. And that's cool because it's mourning. And when you mourn somebody, you obviously handle it differently. Everybody handles mourning. Everyone handles death a little bit differently. I remember when my friend passed away. I went to the wake, and there was this girl there I hadn't seen since high school, and her dad had died maybe about a year ago. And she goes to me, and she says, the other day I went out and I had a beer with my dad. I sat under the tree and I took out a beer and I drank a beer with my dad. I remember thinking it was like the weirdest thing I ever heard in my life, because I don't do that. I don't sit here and I don't go, yeah, I went out with my grandfather. No, I don't do that. And I remember being so surprised by it that she had lost her dad so recently. When I say recently, I mean like 6-7 months ago. But she was able to go out and do that. So, I mean, while I wasn't able to do something like that, it kind of hammers home the fact that different people handle death differently. So she handled it like that. I think the one thing that I did notice, though, that we all do have in common, whether you're calling for, you know, reform in the business, whether you're remembering some of your fondest memories of Eddie, whether you're just crying your eyes out, everybody seems to really honestly care about it. No one's really apathetic about it. No one is cutting anyone down for it. I think we're all handling our emotions, and the fact that Eddie Guerrero is able to drum up the kind of emotions that he has for us says a lot about his legacy. It says a lot about what he did in this business, and he's definitely going to be somebody that we all miss. I mean, I miss him already. I can't, just thinking about SmackDown without him is a tough situation. I know we're not talking personally, we're talking as fans who watch him on television. But yeah, I mean, just to imagine the show without him, and just to imagine WWE without him, imagine the wrestling community without him, it's very strange. Latino Heat was somebody that we all came to really love as a character, and through his documentary and his DVD as a person, you know, he came to love his family. He came to, I mean, maybe you don't love his family, but you came to love him and for what he did for you, and what he did for all of us. And whether people do this business to simply entertain fans or whether there's ulterior motives, it doesn't matter. If Eddie Guerrero or anybody gets into this business just to make money and just to scam us, if the byproduct of that is that we get great memories and great matches and great moments on television from that person, well, then you know what? There's really nothing more to say about it. He gave us good memories. Eddie gave us WrestleMania 20. Eddie gave us the win over Brock Lesnar. Eddie gave us his days in ECW, WCW, the Latino World Order, Lie, Cheat, and Steal, Mamacita. Really, Eddie Guerrero gave us so much. Let me talk a little bit about my favorite memory of Eddie Guerrero. It should be up on the site, but I'll tell you guys, because I still do it to this day. I remember it was right around the time he was doing the Mamacita gimmick with China. It was right before he had gotten her, so to speak. And he came out, and he was in the aisle, and she was in the ring. I'll never forget this. And he's doing the speech to China about wanting to get her. And I forgot what he said leading up to it, but he was hitting on her. And then he goes, "'Cause I know you want to shake that bam bam with me, baby." I laughed so hard. And to this day, I'll do it just to be in conversation. You see, "Oh, I know you want to shake that bonbon with me, baby." And I always do it in Eddie's voice when I do it, too. And it's something that, I mean, I think of him whenever I do it. People may not know why I do it in the Mexican kind of inflection in my voice, but it was hilarious. And Eddie Guerrero made me laugh a lot. I think his finishes when he was world champion to his matches were amazing. And they were the kind of finishes that no one else could do. I couldn't imagine, I could see maybe like Shawn Michaels trying something like that whole cheating, to win thing. But Eddie, my God, he would go out there with pretending he was hit by a bell, laying on the ground, looking around, just really, and took a gimmick, made it his own, something that no one really had done before. I mean, if it had been done before, I don't remember, which means that it really wasn't that big of a deal. So Eddie really made it his own. He came out there and he did the whole gimmick where he had to cheat to win. And he was able to do it as a babyface, which, I mean, damn, if you could find me somebody else that could really make a cheating gimmick work as a babyface, you'd be hard-pressed to find that. And that too, is a testament to his ability, and to his charisma, and to his talent in the ring. I thought that was amazing. I remember last year, or 2 years ago, when I was doing my audio-ish of the week, I had on a casual fan friend of mine, and he was not the classic internet fan. He didn't like a lot of internet things. I remember I asked him about Matt Hardy, and this is back when all of you guys were all rah-rah Matt Hardy. He was getting jobbed out on SmackDown. He didn't even like Matt Hardy. He was like, "Matt Hardy, whatever." But he liked Eddie Guerrero. And I asked him about it, and he goes, "I think that's the coolest gimmick, is the fact that he has to cheat to stay world champion. I think it's pretty cool." And I mean, that's the thing. With a guy like Eddie Guerrero, being as short as he was, and being, I mean, obviously he had muscle mass or whatnot, but being smaller than most guys and stepping into a ring against a Brock Lesnar and coming off as a credible opponent because he had the right gimmick, I think a talent like that and somebody like that is going to be missed tremendously in this industry. It's going to leave a huge hole in world wrestling entertainment, and it's going to leave just a huge hole for all of us to try to fill. So yeah, I mean, that's my views on the whole situation. I'm going to miss him a lot. I'm going to miss watching him on television. I think we're all going to miss him. And I think it's good that we were able to take this week and really reflect on him and reflect on the situation at hand. So no matter who you are, whether you're somebody who is extremely sad about this or angry or whatnot, just know that we all are doing and saying the things that we do out of respect for the passing of an individual who happened to excel in the industry that we all love. And I think that that's something that, above all else, before we point fingers and look for blame or look for reform or anything like that, I mean, you could do all that stuff, but in the back of your mind, know that if you are angry, you're angry because you're going to miss Eddie Guerrero. And if you're sad because you're going to miss Eddie Guerrero. And no matter how you feel, it was sparked by the passing of somebody who really gave a lot to all of us through the years. So I will miss Eddie Guerrero, and I know you guys all will too. All right, so let's get some other people to give some of their thoughts. We're going to bring in Mallory Malling onto the phone line. Mallory Malling had to review Raw on Monday, real-time Raw. I did Raw, my Raw report after the show was over, but Mallory actually did real-time Raw as the show went on, and my heart went out to her to have to type that up as it was going, because I know it was an emotional show. So let's bring her on, let her talk a little bit about it, and let's get Mallory Malling on the phone. All right, so join me in welcoming her to the show, Mallory Malling. What's happening, Mallory? How are you?
Doing good. How are you, James?
I'm doing good. I mean, obviously it's a somber week. Got a lot we're dealing with. I mean, and you were, first and foremost, this week on Monday night, you were covering the real-time Raw for a very emotional Raw.
It was. It was I had my box of Kleenex right there with me, crying and typing.
Yeah. I mean, it was surreal. It was, I couldn't even imagine. I mean, I had to do the Raw report afterwards, and I know that that was rough for me. I couldn't even imagine doing it real time, you know, sitting there trying to type out what was going on for such an emotionally draining episode.
And trying to get everybody's little speeches down as best I could, too, because there were some really powerful things being said.
It was a sudden thing, I think, is what really got me about everything. The sudden nature in that, with Owen Hart's Memorial Raw, I mean, he passed away on Sunday at the pay-per-view. You know, they did the show, they had time to kind of digest it. The next night, they came in for Raw. This was the kind of situation where they found out, roughly everyone found out, maybe around 9:30, 10 a.m. Sunday morning. And by that night, they were, you know, they were doing the tribute. I mean, it must have been crazy for them.
It really must have, probably very hard. You could tell some of his closer friends, they're just crying their eyes out. It felt bad for them.
I know a lot of people come down on the McMahons for it, but I think in some ways it might be therapeutic to be able to go out there. I mean, these are people who live their lives in the public eye, you know, every day. So I think a lot of them, to say goodbye to somebody like Eddie, they want to do it on television, you know. And I think in that sense, it made me feel a little bit better. I think with Owen, I know it was so new that some people were trying to make heads or tails of it. I think after, you know, sitting on it for a few years, having the Owen Hart Raw, now having this, I think just based on the nature of a lot of these guys, it must help out to be able to go out there and get their feelings out and to pay tribute to him on television.
I think for the viewers, too. I remember the Owen Hart when I had been watching that pay-per-view, and I thought, I don't even want to watch wrestling anymore, and I wasn't going to watch the Raw the following night. And I'm so glad I did, because it was comforting to watch.
Well, I think that's the thing I definitely think Vince McMahon doesn't get credit for. I mean, I don't want to say doesn't get credit for, it's kind of a hard thing to describe. I think that with Vince McMahon, when it comes to showing respect through his company for something as serious as this, I think he can't handle storylines well, we know that. He can't handle certain things well, comedy and things that he tends to go overboard on. But when it comes to a grave situation like this, I really think he handled it well on Monday. I think he handled it well with Owen Hart. I think, you know, he definitely deserves credit for at least that.
Oh, absolutely. I think they did a great job with it. With nothing over the top, nothing distasteful.
Well, this is a case, I think, with Eddie Guerrero especially, it's not, I mean, people tend to over-memorialize at times. Some people pass away, and then all of a sudden, you know, a lot of things come out about them, and you find out things about people in death. I don't necessarily think over-memorializing is just done for attention. I think that when someone passes away, you tend to hear a lot of good stories about that person. When you hear those good stories, it tends to make you think better of them. I think that's where that comes from. But I think with Eddie was the type of person that we appreciated while he was alive, and I think that makes him very different than a lot of other people who have passed on.
Uh-huh.
I mean, having him on the show, I know Dan Crocker said that when he would do his SmackDown reviews, every week Eddie Guerrero was a highlight for him, and he would say it in the SmackDown reviews, and I think a lot of us did. This isn't the kind of thing where he's now gone and everyone, you know, oh, he was always my favorite, meanwhile we trashed him when he was alive. When Eddie was alive, he really got a lot of praise from people.
Oh, yeah. Matches were always wonderful to watch. Plus, they always had that impish little grin.
Yeah. That's the weird... I think the weirdest thing is the fact that he had so much life on television. And knowing that, you know, somebody who seemed that alive and seemed that vibrant can be gone so quickly, I think really affects a lot of people who don't normally deal with that.
Yeah.
What was your favorite memory of Eddie?
I think the lie, cheat, and steal storylines with Chavo. Mm. They were just so funny. Probably not very politically correct. but they made me laugh, and he did such silly things with them, and he always had that impish grin.
Yeah. Well, that's funny. That was definitely a situation where people could have jumped all over them for, you know, oh, discrimination and stereotyping and things like that. But Eddie and Chavo made it work, man. They went out there, and it was one of the few funny things that were really on TV at the time in WWE.
They were having fun with it.
Yeah.
If it was acting, it would have come across probably a little stiffer and not quite so interesting, but it just looked like they were having a ball with it.
Well, I think another thing about Eddie that really got to me was in SummerSlam when he did that angle with Dominic and Ray Jr. And, I mean, if anybody else was playing that role of that Eddie was playing or involved in that feud, that storyline, we would have torn. If that was Gene Snitsky and John Heidenreich fighting over somebody's kid in some sort of gimmick match, we would have torn that match to shreds. That would have been the end of the feud. The kid would
probably called Child Protective Services on him for real.
Exactly. He would have read him a poem and kicked him into the crowd. But when Eddie did it, I mean, it was Eddie and Ray, but even then, if it was Rey Mysterio against Gene Snitsky, I think we would have torn it apart. I think Eddie Guerrero had this knack of just having chemistry with so many different performers, which is something that a lot of people can't say, you know. He had good chemistry with Brock Lesnar, he had good chemistry with Kurt Angle, he had good chemistry with Rey Mysterio, with Chris Benoit. I mean, there's so many. You can go down the list, and you'll be hard-pressed to find somebody that Eddie Guerrero couldn't have had a good match with.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely the kind of thing where I think fans appreciated him while he was alive, and I think a lot of us have to remember that. We have to realize that while he has passed, I think he was shown the proper respect while he was here, and I think people are going to remember this for a long time, and it's going to make them think differently next time they want to take somebody for granted.
Absolutely.
Now, if you were, I know this is a little more, but if you were WWE, where would you go from here as far as how would you approach next week, and what do you think you would do to kind of get back on track, so to speak?
I don't know. I sort of wondered what they were going to come up with. I know they have to get ready for their next pay-per-view, but at the same time, they don't want it to look, you know, like they're giving Eddie's memory the cold shoulder either. Mm. I'm probably going to have to tone it down some.
Yeah. I'm sure I might see Chavo involved in some more things. I know that they've gotten rid of the Kerwin White gimmick.
Not a moment too soon.
Exactly. Well, I think with Chavo, it's definitely the kind of situation where that gimmick was just to keep him busy. But now at this point, I think a lot of people are going to want to see him. He's really the last link to a great family in this business that has lost somebody. And I don't know. I mean, my heart goes out to him, and it goes out to everybody that lost him. I can't even imagine going to work that same night and doing what a lot of those people did.
It probably gave him some comfort to all be together. I noticed Sunday morning, like on your message board, people were spending more time on there.
Yeah.
You know, just communicating.
Well, I mean, this was a situation that brought us all together.
And yeah.
I think that was good. I think that, I had said earlier on in the audio that I always wondered how I would cover it if I was writing about wrestling during the Owen Hart Memorial Raw, and I always wondered that because I had started in 2002, and just being involved in writing about wrestling during a situation like this really showed me a lot about the fans out there, and I think for the most part, a lot of people out there care deeply about these wrestlers, no matter how they express it, and I think that they express it differently. Some people get angry, some people get sad, but ultimately, I think everybody genuinely does care about the performers they see on the screen. All right, Mal, I want to thank you. I mean, any last words before I let you go to anybody out there who is trying to get a grip on all this?
Just think of Eddie's the moments you like best. Sort of keep him alive in your heart.
That's great, Mal. Thank you so much, Mallory.
Thank you.
Brought to you by WorldWrestlingInsanity.com.
So there you have it, guys. Mallory Malling, she did the real-time review on Monday. I don't know how she did it, but she did get that up for a very emotional tribute show for Eddie Guerrero. So it's great to have Mallory on. As I said before, our memories of Eddie Guerrero from the staff is up on the main page right now, from all the columnists, some of the TV reviewers, different writers on the site. So if you get a chance, check that out. Also, the readers, we printed some reader emails of people with memories of Eddie Guerrero. A lot of different people had a lot of different memories. But for the most part, everybody kind of echoed the same sentiments. A lot of people very taken back by this. Kind of not expecting it. I mean, obviously you don't expect anybody to pass away, but this one definitely, definitely, definitely a shock for a lot of people who had just seen him on television. So yeah, so I figured what I wanted to do this week, we had Mallory on. I also want to bring on another one of our writers. I'm going to bring on Matt Dogs in a second. Matt will be joining us via the phone line. Matt also did a column on Eddie Guerrero on Monday. He does it every Monday. And I thought it was really well written. Said a lot about the fans and how he felt as far as how we're selfish in the sense that Eddie did have family and did have friends. I didn't really say selfish in a bad way, but selfish in the sense that, kind of like how John Cena said it, you know, Eddie's in a better place, but we will all selfishly miss him. So yeah, I mean, I was taken back by that. But let's bring him onto the phone lines, let him talk a little bit about it. Let's get Matt Dogs right here. All right, guys, so join me in welcoming him to the show, Matt Dogs. Matt, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm good, James. I'm good. What's going on with you?
Nothing much, man. It's really good to talk to you. I know you're running around. Your wedding is coming up this week, man.
Yep, Wednesday the 23rd.
Congratulations, brother. Congratulations. The end of the bachelorhood, huh?
Yep, pretty much.
Crazy week. I mean, we're finally getting to the end of it now. I wanted to have you on to talk a little bit about Eddie Guerrero and some of your memories of Eddie.
Well, like I kind of said in my column, it's pretty sad, and I'm really disappointed that Eddie Guerrero passed away and stuff, but, like, a lot of fans, I mean, in my opinion, were being selfish, you know. While we lost someone we liked to watch and was a great performer, a lot of other people lost a friend and, you know, a brother and a father, stuff like that. And it's just really a sad situation for all the stuff that he's done over the past couple of years, put his life back together, and for it to, like, just end this way so suddenly is really sad and shocking. But in regards to memories, I mean, there's just so many memories of stuff that he's done and stuff that entertained me that we could be here for like 2 hours talking about this stuff.
Yeah.
But the main time I started getting into Eddie was when back in ECW, him and Malenko, the Malenko Guerrero Classic. That's when I first got put on to Eddie. I had seen him previously, you know, I'd seen like little Mexico stuff here and there, but I didn't really get to see him until he hit ECW. That's when I first got him.
Yeah, I remember that, man. That was, they released it on tape, and I remember watching, we're both from New York, so I used to watch ECW like 3 in the morning on MSG channel.
MSG.
And they used to run that commercial for the Guerrero-Malenko Classic every commercial break to go and get it. And back then, I mean, this is before, nowadays everybody has Paul London and people that can say, oh, they should push Paul London, but before there was Paul London and before there were guys like that, there was Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
But, I mean, it was great stuff. And not just, you know, not just the single matches they had. They had matches, I remember there was a tag match where, I'm not sure if it was Malenko Guerrero's team with Scorpio, and it was just a lot of good stuff back then. And for him to get picked up by WCW and then featured, you know, in the cruiserweight division was also great. I mean, there was good stuff there, him and Jericho, him and Mysterio. And he just evolved over the years. He got better and better until, you know, recently.
Yeah, right. there was, I mean, with him it was, there were so many stages in his career, and I think that's what got me on Monday was watching even just WWE. I mean, we're not even talking pre-WWE stuff, but there were so many memories and so many things you can look at with Eddie. When I was putting together for the Raw Report intro on Monday, I was looking for pictures from different times in his career to put in that animated pic. And it's weird, I mean, between the LWO and Mamacita and Lie, Cheat, and Steal and now being, you know, when he was world champion and hugging Benoit, I mean, there's so many different stages he's gone through that, I mean, he's evolved more than most people have in this business.
Yeah, definitely. And he's had a long career. You know, think about it. He's only 38, but I mean, he's been wrestling, what, 18 years already maybe more?
Yeah.
Well, that's just, he was, what, 15 when he started wrestling in Mexico for his dad?
Yeah, guys like, I mean, definitely Eddie Guerrero, I think, in his culture, I mean, they tend to start early. A lot of people, especially when you're born into the business like he was, I mean, born into the Guerrero family, that's a kind of a tough act to follow, man. Mando and Mondo and Chavo and all the different people you got to kind of live up to. And I think Eddie, in some ways, I mean, and this could be debated, but I think he exceeded everybody else in the family.
Oh, yeah, I definitely think so. He is the most famous Guerrero. He's accomplished the most as a Guerrero than everybody in his family. And that's saying a lot, considering, like you said, you know, Mondo, Chavo, Hector, they all accomplished a lot in their careers. But, I mean, Eddie was definitely the top of the Guerrero chain.
Yeah. I think a lot of our readers are having a hard time comprehending it because I think in wrestling, and I said this earlier in the audio, we tend to, I don't want to say have advanced warning, but you know, you kind of you think before somebody passes away, you'll hear stories, you'll hear this, and you'll hear that. And in Eddie's case, I mean, Eddie was not a guy who was released, you know, a year ago and then passed away at his home after being out of the spotlight. I mean, Eddie Guerrero was on TV one night. For some of us who don't watch SmackDown until, you know, we catch it on TiVo a few days later, I mean, I had watched Eddie on Saturday night, and then Sunday morning, I got the news. And it was such a shock. I think fans are having a hard time adjusting to the fact that there was no warning on this, and it was just here one day, gone the next, and life is fragile in that sense, you know?
Yeah, it's disappointing to a lot of fans, too, because a lot of people from, a lot of friends of mine, I know, don't even watch SmackDown at all anymore since the move to Friday.
Yeah.
And I know I've cast it sparingly. I didn't see last week's SmackDown. So my memory of Eddie Guerrero was from 2 weeks ago was the last time I saw him.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of fans are kind of like feel left out because they missed Eddie Guerrero. Because they took it for granted that, oh, well, I'll always catch Eddie Guerrero at the pay-per-view, or I'll watch SmackDown next week and I'll catch him there, and they're not going to get that opportunity anymore.
Oh, definitely. Well, that's what's funny is that, I mean, you bring that up, and I do remember, I was kind of like you and your friends in that I'm not really the biggest fan of a lot of WWE programming today. And I know that we're not saying it today and this week because of all that's going on. I'm not coming down on WWE. But even when the shows weren't great, Eddie Guerrero always stood out on that show, and it just amazed me because I would look forward to it. When you would think about SmackDown, especially at this point, the first thing that popped into my head would be Dave Bautista and Eddie Guerrero. And now to know that one of those parts of the equation is gone, it just leaves a huge hole for a lot of people.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's only a handful of wrestlers that you have to watch, and you always watch their segments and any skit that they're involved or any match that they're in wrestling today.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, like for TNA, for example, AJ Styles and Samoa Joe are definitely two people that everybody watches when they're on. And when it comes to WWE, I would say, you know, Kurt Angle, Shawn Michaels, Eddie Guerrero, and Chris Benoit are the only people, and not one of those people are gone. So, you know, as bad as the shows are lately, or as bad as the angles are, no matter what Eddie Guerrero was involved in, he made it entertaining. Even that whole Dominic Rey Mysterio angle, you know, I mean, it was a stupid angle to begin with, but they made it entertaining, and they made it worth watching. And I go far enough to say that my future father-in-law doesn't really watch wrestling, but when SmackDown was on, he would want to see the Eddie Guerrero, Rey Mysterio, Dominic segments because it was compelling television, and they made it into something good.
It's funny you say that. I we just had Mallory Molly on right before you, and we were just talking about that, how if that was Snitsky and Heidenreich, people would be crucifying it, but Eddie and Rey drew because
yeah.
People liked not just the in-ring action, because so little, I mean, the final match, the ladder match was in the ring, but so little of it really had to do with the wrestling. A lot of it was just on the microphone, and Eddie was able to carry the feud with Rey on both levels.
Yeah, and then from my understanding, you know, Rey came up with the idea, and him and Eddie ran with it, and they pretty much booked their angle from scratch, just so they can, you know, get a program together, and Vince and Stephanie liked it so much that they went with it, and Eddie and Rey pretty much did everything that they wanted to do. It wasn't like, you know, the management's creation, and Eddie and Rey ran with it. It was Eddie and Rey's plan from the beginning, and they went with it the way they wanted to, and it made great television.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I think Eddie had a mind for this business. I think one of the things that impressed me was that Eddie could take anything and make it work in a way. I mean, I thought the Latino World Order, you know, when you look back on it now, was really, it was a WCW desperation thing. Kind of WCW had like 11,000 versions of the NWO, and then they brought in the LWO. And the fact that it worked at all, I think is a testament to Eddie Guerrero. I think the Filthy Animals, when I think of the Filthy Animals, I think of Eddie Guerrero. When I think of even his lie, cheating, and steal gimmick I was talking about earlier, you find me another babyface that could make a cheating gimmick work the way Eddie did. And I'll be impressed. I think that Eddie had a knack for taking a lot of less than stellar things that a lesser performer would fail miserably at and make it work.
Yeah, the whole lie, cheat, and steal thing, when it first debuted with them in the vignette, it looked like it was, you know, a stereotypical, racist, silly,
yep,
silly Mexican angle, and Eddie Guerrero made it one of the most popular gimmicks around.
Yeah. I mean, that's always the thing. I think that this business is definitely, they need more people like Eddie, in the sense that they need more people who can work on every level. And I think one of the funny things, not really funny, but one of the weird things that happened this week is, and I've been talking about the message boards, WWE came out with their new video game, SmackDown vs. Raw, for PlayStation 2. And in the game, there's a section called GM mode, where you draft wrestlers onto your roster. And before you draft them, they give you a breakdown of how they're talented and how they're listed in, as far as talent, overall talent. And if Eddie Guerrero, I think if he's not number one, he's number two or three as far as overall. So I think in a situation like that, and I said earlier too, this isn't a case where he passed away and now people are saying, you know, things about him that we weren't saying when he was alive. Eddie Guerrero has always been respected as one of the true greats in this industry.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And it shows from all the stories people are telling, all the, you know, internet writings, and like Rob Van Dam put up that whole spiel on WWE.com, how he respected Eddie. A lot of people are really touched by Eddie, and even if they didn't know him that deep, they still, like, have memories of him. Like, Lance Storm just wrote on his website that he wasn't that close to Eddie, yet he remembers a match specifically that they had, and they tore the house down, he said.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just little things like that that, you know, people who've never worked with Eddie or worked with Eddie, like, once or twice, still have memories of him, and that says a lot about him as a person and as his character.
Oh, definitely. Well, I think the way that his death has been covered this week, for the most part, I mean, there's some things that I don't necessarily agree with, but for the most part, I think everything has come from a good place, and I was talking about this earlier, I want to get your take on it. I mean, obviously there's people who are sad by this, there's people who get angry about this, there's people who get frustrated by this, but I think the one thing that everybody has in common, whether you're angry, whether you're blaming, whether you're not, is that everybody's reacting the way they are out of really just genuine love for this person and this performer, not even just as a performer, because Eddie was also known for his DVD and for bearing his soul. So people got to know him, you know, I mean, obviously it was WWE's spin on his life, but they got to know him as a person outside of the ring as well.
Yeah, he's definitely one of the few wrestlers who you've seen touch upon their past life. Like, you know, everybody talks about the cheating life, stealing death, or stealing life, cheating death, whatever the name of that DVD is. They talk about, you know, him and his problems and his demons, as they like to call it. And he's one of the few wrestlers who really touched upon that in, like, their life, in their DVD. He made it public. He made it open. And he admitted to living, you know, for the moment, living at the time, and trying to just get through what he's getting through. Even get through one day at a time, you know. Mm-hmm. And not many wrestlers do that, you know. It's an unspoken, you know, knowledge that a lot of wrestlers have problems. Eddie's not the first. Eddie's not going to be the last. And he's not the only one. But, I mean, Eddie's the only one who was willing to face it and make it public and use it in his angle and admit to having a problem being a flawed man, but dealing with it.
Yeah.
And that's why a lot of people have respect for Eddie Guerrero, because he accomplished so much after having his problems. You know, he wasn't a top guy who, you know, just got into drugs and messed everything up and messed up with his life. He was a guy who was a mid-card guy or upper-tier guy who screwed up his life, lost his job, lost his family, and then put everything back together to get his family back, to get his life back, and become a main eventer.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think, and the, I don't say good thing, but I think that in hindsight, Eddie Guerrero is hopefully will serve as inspiration to a lot of the young guys out there.
I hope so, too, definitely, because, I mean, Eddie Guerrero was only 38 years old, and that's just way, way, way too young to die. Even for all the other wrestlers who passed, I mean, Eddie Guerrero just did a lot, and it's just really a shock and a wake-up call that a top, top guy can pass away. I don't think any top guy has passed away while they're, you know, still on top. All the guys who passed away young, like the Rick Rudes, the Kurt Hennings, they were pretty much out of that main event spotlight. They weren't the top dog anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie Guerrero, like, the first top dog to really leave us at this time.
I mean, he left us actually at one of the most critical points. I think that the thing that really got to me, I wrote in the Raw Report on Monday, was that, you know, for all intents and purposes, that was supposed to be the show where he was going to pretty much win the world title. You know, his lowrider was out in the arena serving as kind of a symbol of his life. Meanwhile, that lowrider was in Minnesota because that was what he was supposed to drive to the ring. I think it was, I mean, you talk about going from sudden to whatever. I mean, the night after Owen Hart was the Owen Hart Raw, obviously. But who knows what they had really planned for Owen. It was nothing even close to what was probably planned for Eddie. So to look at that, I think it drives home the point that, you know, this industry is based on scripted fiction, but, you know, there's a lot of real things that really do happen.
Yeah, I think that's why, you know, in Stephanie's segment where she was giving her speech on Eddie Guerrero, that's why she was so touched and heartbroken, because she knew how hard Eddie worked, and they were going to reward him. And, you know, she's one of the handful of people who probably knew that he was going to win the title that night. Because it was supposed to be, what, him, Batista, and Orton.
Yeah, well, they pulled
obviously,
the team,
you know, they have to get the belt off Batista. Eddie is the most, you know, logical choice to put in that spot.
Yeah.
Until Batista's ready to come back. Especially since, you know, him and Batista have their own story going. So it's just, that's why I think she was so touched by it. And a lot of fans don't realize that, you know, Eddie was going to get his run again. And that's what a lot of fans were hoping for.
Yeah. No, definitely, and this was, I think, the timing and everything, and it's gotten a lot of attention. I mean, actually, my mother-in-law emailed me about it from across the country where she heard about it. I mean, this has been picked up by a lot of people, and for the most part, I mean, with the exception of, I guess, the guy on ESPN, I don't know the full story on that, though, people have been pretty respectful of it, you know?
Yeah, I know the ESPN story vaguely. I mean, the guy wasn't knocking Guerrero specifically, he was just knocking wrestling in general.
Yeah.
Saying, like, it's not a sports story because wrestling isn't really a sport. It's scripted entertainment.
Uh-huh.
And that was his take on it. Like, you know, he wasn't knocking Eddie Guerrero. He didn't bash Eddie Guerrero. He said he doesn't even know who Eddie Guerrero is. It's just that he didn't feel it should be getting the coverage on ESPN because it's not a sport. That was his whole knock. A lot of fans took it the wrong way and took it like he was bashing Eddie Guerrero.
Well, no, I think he really wasn't. Well, fans are going to jump on. I think at this point, anybody outside of wrestling who brings up his name in anything less than a positive light is going to get jumped on. I mean, it's a very touchy time for everybody involved. It's hard to know, and I was saying this before, especially with our website, it's hard to know where to go from here, you know what I mean? And I think that after this week, we all needed this week to really vent a lot of our emotions, get a lot of things out, and get a lot of feelings out. And I think by next week we're all going to be ready to start getting back into the swing of things. But until then, these last few days have been surreal in that just to be involved in the business at this point, it's hard to know how to approach an industry that for the most part is based on silliness and based on hokiness, because, you know, the guy on ESPN could say what he wants, but we all know that prior to this week, we were looking at wrestling. I mean, Vince McMahon was pulling things out of Jim Ross's fake ass 3 weeks ago, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a very, it's a strange situation when you have to deal with something so real on a show and in an industry that's supposed to be so, you know, hokey and fun.
Yeah, I can't even imagine, like, what's going to happen Monday. They have to, like, pretend last week never happened, you know?
Yeah.
And go back to pushing their pay-per-view that's coming up in 2 weeks. And it's going to be difficult for a lot of guys there to be able to do that. Like, I'm surprised that they even went ahead with the European tour. I mean, I understand that they had to because they were already booked, but, I mean, I can't imagine those guys having to, you know, celebrate and tribute Eddie Guerrero and then the next day fly to Italy.
Yeah.
And work a show. That has to be so difficult, but, I mean, business has to go on, and they have to go back to business as usual. It's going to be hard, but, I mean, they're going to have to do it.
Well, I think this is, I think this is a good time to probably hit the reset button on a lot of the storylines and a lot of the angles. Not because they had the week off. I'm not saying it to be callous. I'm saying it because I think, especially maybe on SmackDown, a lot of the things that they had going on, it's going to be too much of a reminder for a lot of people, I think. And I think WWE would be smart to kind of transition out of what they were doing beforehand and maybe start anew on many levels. I think that might be a good way to get us back into kind of a new outlook on everything.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so they put the reset button and, you know, try to go in a different direction from what they've been going in lately, because, I mean, they need it. They need to freshen up and they need to, you know, be back on point where they were with their stories. And it shows when, you know, stuff is more true to life rather than the hokey stuff they've been doing, they get fans back.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the whole Monday's Raw was the highest rated Raw of the year. And, you know, it's sad that, you know, it had to be an Eddie Guerrero tribute show to get that number for them, but it was a real-life show based on real emotion. There wasn't no silly, stupid angles. Nobody wanted to see that. And it showed that people wanted to see something that wasn't dumb like they've been putting on lately.
Well, that proves the point, man. And I think people, you know, this industry is never going to die. No matter how bad WWE gets, I think that wrestling has a core audience that's going to be there forever. I think they leave because they don't like a lot of the on-air stuff that goes on, but for the most part, when it comes to the performers in the industry and the people who perform, I think the fans do appreciate everything they do. Even the ones that we rip on, I mean, I did that whole, you know, 10 people we abuse thing a couple of weeks ago, but even the people we rip on, I think that everybody appreciates the effort that people put in there for whatever reasons they have. You know, even if they're not doing it just to entertain us, they're doing it to put bucks in their pocket or whatever. If entertaining us is a byproduct of that, then, you know, we have to appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, most fans don't really hate wrestlers. They just hate what wrestlers are put in and the stories that they're put in, the stupid angles and gimmicks that they're given. But for the most part, I mean, wrestlers are just doing their job, and I think a lot of smart fans understand that. They know that, you know, as much as they hate, you know, what Kurt Angle's doing with John Cena and talking about his ass and stuff like that, and he's going to do all this other crap, I mean, they still respect Kurt Angle. Mm-hmm. It's still Kurt Angle, and people are going to respect that.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think this situation, I mean, in tragedy, you find out a lot about people, and I think that we have learned a lot about the wrestling fans as a whole, and I think the reaction that we've seen, as I said before, no matter what side of the fence you're on, how you feel about it, I think everybody's reacting out of a sense that they really did genuinely care for this person and respect what he did for them.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
All right, buddy. Matt, I'm going to let you go again, man. Congratulations. This Wednesday, everybody, Matt is getting married. So yeah, man, congratulations from all of us here at WorldWrestlingInsanity.com. I'll put something up on the site when it happens. But
thank you very much, sir. I appreciate it.
No, man, thank you for coming on, brother.
No problem.
All right, dude. I'll talk to you soon, Matt.
All right, peace.
So there you have it, guys. Matt Dogs on the phone talking a little bit about Eddie Guerrero and some of his memories of Eddie. Now, we're going to be going back to the regular format for Radio Free Insanity next week. In fact, we're all going to get back to normal starting next week. Raw Insanity returns on Monday, and I have some really big guests lined up for this audio, so you guys are really going to be excited. Trust me, when I say big guests, we're going to have big guests on here. So a lot coming on, a lot going on the site, so be sure to check out WorldWrestlingInsanity.com. In the next few weeks, you guys can be really excited about a lot of the features that we're adding. But yeah, this week was a little bit different, as we said before. It's about Eddie Guerrero. It's about paying tribute to Eddie and the life that he lived and what he did for all of us as fans and the respect that we wanted to show him. So yeah, well, on that note, we're just going to leave it be and leave you guys paying tribute to Eddie Guerrero. May he rest in peace. So until we next talk, be well. And this is James Gutman saying good night and thanks for listening.
I will keep myself. I would find a way.
Brought to you by WorldWrestlingInsanity.com.